You are listening to a Commonwealth Bank of Australia Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. This podcast provides general market-related information and is not intended to be an investment research report. The information contained in this podcast is based on previously published material, and before listening, you're advised to read the full Global Economic and Markets Research Disclaimers, which can be found at combankresearch.com.au.
Welcome to the CommBank Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. Hello, my name is Joseph Caperso. I am Head of International Economics at Commonwealth Bank. Today I am with Belinda Allen. Belinda is an economist with the Australian Economics Team. Welcome, Belinda.
Thanks, Joe.
Today we turn the tables.
We do.
I'll be asking Belinda the questions. Belinda published a detailed note on the 18th of June titled Industry Performance in a COVID-Safe Economy. Clients can read Belinda's note on CommBank's research portal at research.combank.com.au. In today's podcast, I will chat with Belinda about how different industries are coping under the COVID disruption and what the future may hold. So let's get started. Belinda, you say that the outlook for the construction industry is mixed. How so?
Oh, thanks, Joe, and it's nice to be in a different position on this podcast. Now, when I've looked at the different industries in Australia, I guess there were four main themes that are impacting the industries within the Australian economy. So that is ranging from border closures, so the closure of Australian borders to non-residents, social distancing requirements to control the spread of the coronavirus, changing work patterns, how we're working and how we're living and spending money, and also confidence in the Australian economy. So when I think about the construction industry, it is really being impacted by a number of factors. It's being impacted by border closures, as well as changing work patterns. So if we can just think about the residential construction sector to start, and mind you, the construction industry is one of the largest industries in the Australian economy. It accounts for about 9% of Australia's economy, employs well over 1 million people. So it's actually a big, important part of the Australian economy. But we do think that the construction industry outlook is mixed. And for the residential part of that, it's actually a little bit weak as well. And that's really being driven by the outlook for demand for housing. And much of that comes down to the border closures. So we are expecting Australia's population growth to fall as net overseas migration does dry up. So 2/3 of Australia's population growth is driven by net overseas migration. So if that moves close to zero over this year and next, we do expect Australia's population growth to slow closer to 1%, if not below. And out of that comes a lot of demand for housing. So we do actually expect housing construction to fall 25% this year. Now, we are seeing some supports come through. So the federal government did announce a $688 million home builder program. So that may help support the alterations and additions part of that, and also may help to lift some demand for new home additions as well. There are some other things that could come out of it. We are seeing some state governments start to think more about social housing and the build-to-rent sector. So longer term, we could see how housing is built and how housing is consumed change in the Australian economy.
Okay, what about non-residential construction, such as warehouses, shops and offices? What's the outlook there?
So this is where I think it's probably hard to tell in the short term. So at the moment, we're all working from home, or there's limited movement back into offices in central business districts. We're all consuming services and retail a little bit differently as well. The move to online is definitely a factor here. So when we think about the outlook for non-residential construction, I think we have to put it through the lens of uncertainty. So I think as we're a little bit more uncertain about how we'll continue to demand office space, whether or not we'll continue to need these social distancing requirements, we could actually see more demand for office space if they need to be bigger. But at the same time, as this very large work from home experiment takes place, we could actually see more people work from home on a permanent basis. So that could reduce the demand for office space. So I think while all this is sorted out, I think the demand and the outlook for non-residential construction could be a little bit more mixed as well.
Yes, certainly working from home must be the world's largest experiment ever in the history of the human race. Governments have announced extra spending on infrastructure. That's part of construction. What does the future look like there?
So we have seen both federal governments and state governments start to fast track a lot of projects. So some of that's in the transport space. So we would expect to see that outlook to be a little bit more positive going forward. And certainly that's been one of the areas that I think federal and state governments have done really well at, is to get some shovel-ready projects into the economy now to support the jobs and the outlook for the sector.
Okay, well, let's move on to the fun stuff. Accommodation and food services, that's things like tourism and eating out and the like. The situation there is less mixed and quite bleak, isn't it?
Well, I guess when we think about this sector, it's certainly being impacted by border closures, so the fall in tourism, from international tourists, but also domestic tourists as well, as some interstate borders remain closed. And then, of course, it's been impacted by social distancing requirements as well. So when we think about the outlook for tourism, we would expect that to remain weak for most of 2020, just given that we don't see international tourism returning this year. However, we do think that domestic tourism can start to lift, and we're actually starting to see that through a lift in our CBA Household Spending Intention series. So we look at travel intentions. Now, they collapsed in April, but they have started to lift again in May, and we would expect to see some improvements come through as we are starting to see a reopening in that part of the economy. When we do think about food services, though, this is still being impacted by social distancing requirements. So restaurants are back open, pubs and clubs are back open, but to lower patron numbers. And we actually see the impact through our weekly card spend data. So this is where we track spending on CBA credit and debit card by households. And we did see, when the full-blown restrictions were in place, we did see a fall in spending on food and alcohol services through to mid-April. In fact, our spending on drinking out in pubs and clubs was down 76% at its worst. Now, it is improving, and it's now just sitting down 17% compared to a year earlier. And that contrasts to restaurants. We're actually now spending more on restaurants than we were a year ago. But it is taking some time to rebuild. And I think that's where a lot of the confidence comes in place. So if we're still a little bit nervous about catching the virus, and this is where it will be important to kind of see what's happening in Victoria with some renewed virus cases, just to see the level of confidence out there in the community about catching the virus.
Wow, those falls in eating and drinking out certainly have been large. It looks like dry July got brought forward to earlier in the year. Let's talk about mining. Mining operations have more or less been unaffected, but what does the future hold there?
So mining's interesting. So that's a small part of the Australian economy, around 3%, but obviously dominates our export space. So when we think about the most important drivers for the mining sector, we have to look offshore. So a lot of Australia's exports of mining goes into China. And so then the outlook obviously is very dependent on the Chinese economy. So for that, at the moment, the Chinese economy is obviously going through and has gone through the coronavirus first. It's come out of it first. And the government there has been providing a lot of stimulus. And that stimulus has actually been very commodity intensive. So the mining sector has actually been benefiting from that stimulus coming out of China. And on the investment side, we're actually expecting a tick up in mining investment coming through. So we do have mining investment rising around 3%. This financial year and 16% next financial year. So a lot of that comes down to maintenance capital expenditure, particularly in the iron ore sector. So that's a positive. Where we're a little bit more pessimistic on is kind of the oil and gas sector, just given what's been happening in the price of oil. We are concerned that we may see some delay or cancellation of big oil and gas projects.
Over to Australian manufacturing. You publish a Purchasing Managers Index, PMI, every month. What is the PMI telling you about how manufacturers are coping with COVID?
Well, this is really interesting, actually. So what we saw, so the Purchasers Managers Index breaks down the Australian economy through the manufacturing sector and the services sector. So we actually saw the services sector massively underperform the manufacturing sector during the coronavirus. And I think that's really reflective of the lockdown measures, the social distancing requirements impacting the services sector to a greater degree than the manufacturing sector. And we've actually just released the latest PMI data today. We are seeing a rebound in both the services side and the manufacturing side as well. It's still hovering around that all-important 50 level, which separates expansion from contraction. But we certainly have seen improvements come through in both those sectors. But one of the things we're thinking about manufacturing longer term, and I know you've written some papers on this as well, Joe, is the potential to go through a reshoring process. So early on during the coronavirus, I think there were some concerns that a lot of medical equipment, medical goods had to be imported from offshore, and this reopened the question about whether or not we had to have more manufacturing capabilities in Australia. So that's something that could actually be a medium-term positive for Australia's manufacturing sector.
Possibility of a blue-collar recovery in Australia.
We'll see.
Well, let's get on to retail therapy. Many retailers were struggling before COVID struck. How hard have they been hit by the shutdowns, and what does the future look like?
Yeah, it's interesting. So certainly leading into coronavirus at the start of this year, and particularly through 2019, we had seen consumer spending quite weak in the Australian economy. Very persistent low income growth had held back consumer spending. And certainly what we saw during the coronavirus recession, which we're still in, is a big lift in the purchases of goods, particularly food goods, and a big fall in the consumption of services. And that's, as I said, really those food and alcohol services as well. But now what we're seeing is certainly a lift as retail shops are reopened. We're seeing a lift in in-store spending. During the coronavirus crisis, we did see a shift online that's now starting to reverse. And as more people are feeling confident, we're actually starting to see improvements in in-store spending. But looking forward, I still think there are some risks for this sector. The unemployment rate's still to rise. We still have the unemployment rate peaking at around 8.5%. So we do expect that to continue to hold back consumer spending, as will uncertainty about the tapering of a lot of the government support that's been provided to the unemployed and also those impacted by the economic downturn. So I still think that that could hold back consumer spending through the rest of this year and the retail sector itself.
Unfortunately, that's all we have time for today. Belinda's note also covered other industries such as transport, agriculture and arts and recreation. Clients can read Belinda's detailed note on the research portal at research.combank.com.au. Belinda, thank you for chatting with me today about your notes, and thank you to our listeners for spending time with us today. Bye for now, and until next time, stay safe.
The data used in the Commonwealth Bank Household Spending Intention Series is a combination of the CBA data and publicly available Google Trends data. Where CBA data is cited, this refers to the bank proprietary data. As the statistics take into account only the bank's data, it may not reflect all trends in the market. All customer data used or represented is anonymised and aggregated before analysis and is used and disclosed in accordance with the group's privacy policy statement.